God's will be done. Let's talk about it on this edition of He Writes.
Hello, I'm Mike Kellogg, and this is He Writes. If you are interested in honest and practical Bible teaching for struggling believers, you are at the right place. Here's Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible open at the 28th chapter of Jeremiah, we're talking about a false prophet by the name of Hananiah. And I want to give you one, two verses over in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. I want to go to a lot of other places here, but I really need to be moving on to the next book in our Old Testament survey. But I did pause this week to talk about false prophets and how you can tell sometimes. And the first thing that we saw is that Hananiah, when he gave his prophecy, he made people feel good and they were happy. It was good news, but it was a lie. So don't trust anybody who says they're a man of God or a woman of God who only says things that make you feel good. Now, they ought to give you hope. If they don't give you any hope, then stay away from them. They ought to have some good news to tell you. But if everything they say is good and happy and says you can be wealthy and everything's going to be fine and no sweat about anything, that's a false prophet. You got to be careful about that. In the second, we looked at Hananiah, and we noticed that Jeremiah hoped that what Hananiah said was true. We don't do that all the time. I mean, we hope that the whole world finds out that New Agers are wrong, and then they'll know we're right and we can be self-righteous. That's not an attitude of a Christian. We saw that Jeremiah, after he listened to Hananiah and the false good news, said, "Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words." That's a good example. Then thirdly, we notice that Jeremiah did not, and we should not, question the sincerity of a false prophet. You can be sincere, and you can be wrong. Now, then we talked about the test, verses 8 and 9 and 16 and 17 of the 28th chapter, when we talked about the fruit, the test of a real prophet. In this sense, the prophecy comes true. In other sense, the fruit of that prophecy. Then I want to show you something else. Throughout, when Jeremiah speaks his prophecy, he says this. Read the 12th verse of that 28th chapter. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah." Now, in those days, other than the Torah, not all of what was said had been written down. And there's a sense in which we're doing better than people who lived in biblical times. People always sound like you go back to the time of the Bible. Well, sometimes I would, but sometimes I wouldn't. We have the advantage of thousands of years of seeing how the truth works out. And we have the advantage all of that time of having the canon, the Bible, before us. Now, what am I saying? When you listen to somebody teach, check it out in the Word. Don't take anybody's word for it. You say, "What about your word?" I'm talking about me. Man, I've been wrong so many times, I can't tell you. I haven't been a false prophet because my heart has been right. I really study the scriptures because I want to teach them to you properly. I really work at this. This isn't just a fly-by-night thing with me that I'm just going to talk. But I want you to know, I've been wrong. I've been so wrong. There have been times when I wanted to go back to places where I've spoken and say, "I know what I told you, but I was wrong." And I want to apologize for telling you that sort of thing. When I first started a little church down on Cape Cod, I was sincere, but I was wrong. I didn't even know Jesus. I mean, I talked good, and people liked what I said. I used to say, "Lord, is there any way that I can go back and speak to those people?" And I got invited to go back on the 100th anniversary of that little church on Cape Cod. And I had an opportunity to tell the truth. So, you listen to what I teach. I think it's important. I think it's true. I think I've gotten it from the Word. I've worked hard to get it right. But if you don't go get your Bible and check out what I teach, then something bad's going to happen to you. All kinds of things went through my mind to say. that if I had said them, you would have written me letters, so I'm not going to say them. But really do check out the Bible with your pastor, with a television evangelist, with somebody who teaches in the media the way I do, with a Sunday school teacher. Check it out. And if they're men and women of God, when you point out a contradiction, they'll change. They'll change. Because a true prophet is somebody who doesn't want to get out of the context of God's truth. And then I want to show you one final thing. That is that you're going to do it God's way, either the easy way or the hard way. Notice the prophecy of Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of, oh, that's Hananiah, I'm sorry, drop down to what Jeremiah says. Go tell Hananiah, this is the 13th verse, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place a yoke of iron. In Philippians, Paul says, every knee will bow. Now, some of you are believers, and I'm so glad you're listening to our broadcast. It gives you a chance to check out, think about the truth. I'd rather have a church full of angry atheists than bland, apathetic Christians. So even some of the things that I say make me angry, but you keep on listening. Now, I'm so glad that you did that, but let me give you some truth. You are going to be a believer. No matter what, you're going to be a believer, and you're not going to be able not to be a believer. When Jesus comes back, you're going to say, oops. Oh, man, that weird guy was right. I can't. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Paul said. If you have a yoke of wood and you break it off and say, I'm free, you're not. You don't ever get free from God, because whether or not you believe truth, it's still truth. And in the end, all truth will be revealed to all people, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And then there's sort of a sad ending with this. We've seen that Hananiah was probably sincere. He spoke his first prophecy among the people of God and in the temple. But in the 16th and 17th verse, it's kind of a downer. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you will die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Now you need to know, in the Old Testament there isn't a lot of teaching about immortality, and there may be more to this story. People are saying, I can't find heaven in the Old Testament. Well, it's there, but it's embedded. And a lot of Old Testament covenant people of God believed in divine earthly retribution, that you get what you deserve, and you get it now. If you deserve good stuff because you've been good, you're going to get good stuff. Because they didn't have a view, at least a detailed view, of heaven. We do. Because we have the rest of the Bible, and we know. So Hananiah may be somebody you're going to meet in heaven someday. But God said, if you keep spreading this nonsense around, if you keep saying these dumb things, if you keep prophesying, stuff that isn't true, I'm going to take you out. And he took Hananiah out. And there's some kind of sad. You know, the good news is you're going to heaven. The bad news is you're going on Thursday. But notice that God is solicitous about the truth, that Hananiah prophesied falsely. And God said, time's up. Okay. Then before we finish Jeremiah, I want to go to one of my favorite passages. And if you've got your Bible open, it's probably on the same page. You might have to flip over a page. The 29th chapter of Jeremiah, and it's the first letter, and we've already looked at this kind of lightly, but let me center in on it. This is the letter that Jeremiah writes to the people who are exiles. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there, not diminished. And seek, here it comes, the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you shall have peace. That is so good. That's the Bible. That's God telling us how we're to live in our communities. A lot of times we just think they're all pagans and they're all going to hell and these politicians are all lying and how could they, and we rant and we rail and we are upset because they don't understand the truth that pornography is in the land, that abortion is taking place, and all those things are wrong. But notice what God says. Pray for the peace of a place where God has placed you. Be a benediction. Be a blessing in your place of employment, even if there isn't a single Christian there. In your community, become a part of Red Cross. Reach out and help. Don't withdraw and be something less than a blessing in your community. We're supposed to be leaven in the loaf. We're supposed to pray for and to bless the place where we live. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, have you written or called for the booklet we're offering, From Panic to Power? Maybe you're confused, searching, and doubtful. That's why I wrote this booklet. And it'll help you. And if you're doing good now, you might have a friend you want to give it to. Might be a very kind thing to do. It's biblical, and I think you'll find it helpful. And even if you don't, it's free, and so you can't complain. It's called From Panic to Power. And if you'll give us a call or drop us a note, we'd be glad to send it to you free. The number's 1-800-KEY-LIFE. That's 1-800-539-5433. Or write to Key Light Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Light Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us, steve@keylight.org, with your regular mailing address. When I say it's free, I really do mean that it is free and we pay the postage. But if you can help us financially, this is such an expensive ministry. And only a small percentage of the people who benefit from this ministry are able to help us financially. Would you be one of those champions? You can charge it to your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. You can include a contribution in your envelope. When you do, you help so many others, and I would be so grateful. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching, Forgiven and Forgotten, How to Experience True and Lasting Forgiveness. And one other thing, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Networks.